Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all here today. I'm especially happy to see the young people. They're my main audience today. I'm very excited to be able to talk to my Kingdom kids and my Olympians and my Sunday school class this morning. In the scripture that Bob read this morning for us from James, we can see that James understood what the world's greatest source of encouragement was. It's the tongue. However, it is equally true that James recognized the tongue as the world's greatest source of discouragement. And that's the transforming truth of today's message. My tongue is the greatest asset I have for encouraging other people. I want to remind you that I'm a teacher, not a preacher. So I volunteered to teach about this subject. I know from instructing young people over the years that their tongue can get them into trouble from time to time. And I know that the young people of the church would be in the service this month to hear what I had to say about our tongue. But I also know that the problem of the tongue does not ease with age. Using my tongue wisely is a problem for a grandfather as well. And by the way, I know that you can tell my age because I am the first person to stand in this pulpit this summer with my shirt tucked in. It's really tough to teach an old dog new tricks. The book of Proverbs has over 80 verses that speak about the tongue. And because I'm an elementary school teacher at heart, I've entitled my sermon after the famous children's song, "Be Careful, Little Tongue." I believe that your tongue reveals your spiritual condition. So today we are going to search the scriptures to discuss telling the truth, avoiding gossip, controlling an angry tongue, and using your tongue to promote godliness. We are going to be using multiple scriptures this morning, which will be shown on the screen so you don't have to be flipping through your Bible to follow along. So part one is telling the truth. Using our tongues to tell the truth is based on the ninth commandment, Exodus 20:16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Proverbs 12:17 ties in with this commandment. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. But I really love what follows in verse 19, Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. God's word is truth. God's word endures forever. Think of all the men and women throughout the years that have been known for telling the truth. Honest Abe. George Washington supposedly never told a lie. I'm sure that these people had their moments, but history regards them as truthful. And I wanted to mention one more thing about the truth. It's way easier to tell the truth than to tell lies. You see, it's easy to remember the truth. It's only one story. Remembering a lie is much harder. Every fictional detective from Sherlock Holmes to Perry Mason can spot a lie because even when a person's life depends on lying their way out of harm, they slip. Now, boys and girls, remember that telling the truth will not remove punishment about what you're lying about. One of my favorite stories is about a little boy who came running home from school back in Little House on the Prairie time. He was so excited about what he had learned at school that day. His dad came to meet him and said, "Son, what is so exciting?" He said, "Dad, today we learned that George Washington chopped down a cherry tree, he told his father the truth, and he didn't get punished." And the father says, son, that's true. You should always tell the truth. Well, a couple weeks later, the father comes roaring into the log cabin. The veins of his neck are popping out. And he yells, who pushed the outhouse over the edge of the hill? The little boy raised his hand and said, I cannot tell a lie. I did it. Whereupon his father spanked the living daylights out of him. The little boy is crying, 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 and he finally says, Daddy, 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 when George Washington chopped down the cherry tree and told the truth, he didn't get punished. And his father said, son, that's because George Washington's father wasn't in the cherry tree when he chopped it down. I'll give you a moment to ponder that. We should tell the truth. Tell the truth from the beginning, all right? Telling the truth gives you, perhaps will give you one punishment. Telling a lie, two. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. God hates lying. And calling it something else does not mean that God is fooled. Fib, fabrication, fiction, a little white lie. Call it what you like, it's still a lie. And lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So what about that favorite excuse for lying, which is, I don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. You know, questions like, how do you like my new haircut? Or, do you like the new recipe I tried? One summer, my dear mother-in-law grew parsnips in her backyard. When we visited, she asked if we liked parsnips. The four kids and Martha all said no. Only David was foolish enough to say yes. Guess what? I didn't know there were so many ways to fix parsnips. I didn't know parsnips could be a breakfast food. All right? I did not know she had grown a bumper crop of parsnips. Be sure your sins will find you out. All right? The situations, however, that we're discussing here actually fall back on the one who is doing the asking. If you really don't want a truthful answer, then you probably should not ask the question. Proverbs 12:22 concludes with the fact that God delights in those who tell the truth. Young people, not only is God pleased when you are truthful, mom and dad are delighted when you tell the truth. Let's look at Proverbs 16:13. Righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. This principle is demonstrated in the Bible numerous times. Nathan confronting David's sin. Isaiah giving wise counsel to King Hezekiah when the Assyrians were surrounding. But the problem with many leaders today is that they want yes men surrounding them, not truthful aides. And unfortunately, we can see this played out in the Bible as well. There is Rehoboam, who listened only to what he wanted to hear, and that cost him his kingdom. Any member of Herod's family was looking for only for a way out of trouble. And nearly all the Pharisees in power only wanted to hear how great they were, not the truth, especially if that truth was being spoken by Jesus. God's word says, righteous lips are a delight of a king. So let's substitute for the word king. Righteous lips are a delight to a parent. Righteous lips are a delight to a teacher. Righteous lips are a delight to an employer. God loves those who speak what is right. Proverbs 30:5-6 give an apt conclusion to this topic of truthfulness. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you are found a liar. Just as God's word is fully true, we are called to be fully faithful and truthful. The kingdom kids know that you should never do math with God's word. Now, certain parts of the math, anyway. We want to multiply God's word, but we never want to add or subtract. This is the lie of all the sects and isms out there. God's word is true, but we need to add such and so. Or God's word is true if you ignore this particular passage. God loves the truth, and his children should do likewise. A second problem with the tongue is gossip. I love Paul's play on words in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. We hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Not busy, busybodies. Gossip is a harmful sin. It hurts all involved. It is destructive to the teller, to the hearer, and to the gossip item. What does Proverbs have to say about gossip? Proverbs 10:18 says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." That's pretty straightforward. Slandering someone is foolish in God's eyes. Proverbs 18:8, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body." Gossip slides down into our inner beings before we can even realize what is happening. And by then, it's too late. So how should we avoid gossip? Well, in the old cartoons, it meant staying away from the water cooler. In today's world, it means staying away from certain areas of social media or ignoring that tantalizing email that pops up in your inbox. We are called to remove ourselves from a situation where gossip is found. If I'm about to gossip, the question I should ask myself is, what good am I doing spreading this little item? If I'm about to be told a tidbit, my question should be, what good will knowing this do for me? You see, the basic human emotion being fed by gossip is ego. I feel better about myself by tearing someone else down. Now, before we go any farther, I have a confession to make, and preparing this sermon has really been a wake-up call for myself. I'm guilty of stretching the truth, and that's lying. I figuratively stand around the water cooler. That's gossip. I've really been convicted as I've prepared this sermon, and I've asked the Lord to help me to avoid both of these sins. Proverbs 20:19 is a great conclusion to the topic of gossip. "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." In my early teaching days, the RG&E produced a movie about the dangers of power stations and down power lines. The title was "Stay Clear, Stay Alive." That's an appropriate title for this section on gossip. Stay clear, stay alive. The third area of the tongue is how to control your tongue. God commands you to control your tongue. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." I can actually boil this part of the message down to four words: think before you speak. And for that matter, we could massage that bit of advice by think before you keyboard. think before you keyboard. Your fingers are an extension of your tongue. Thinking twice, or three times, or four times, extends to your emails and texts. I taught in an entirely different era than today. I am sure that I was roasted from time to time around the dinner table. And I'm sure that there were a few irate notes tucked into backpacks for delivery the next morning. But I imagine that many of those notes were removed the next morning when cooler heads prevailed. That's not the way things happen today. Something done or said which riles me, and I feel that I must respond immediately. When I was a child, there were many times that my brother said things to my parents that as soon as they exited his mouth, he wished he could gather those words up before they reached my parents' ears. Notice it was only my brother that had this problem, all right? Today, the same can be said and is the truth about text and emails. And they travel even faster than sound travels. I'm enjoying my hiatus from the elder board. Being an elder in the era of the pandemic was a great challenge. And I will say how thankful I am that our God, that he has guided this church in Webster through this time. But there were times when an email would cross my screen that rankled me. I've learned to give myself 24 hours before I reply. And I think that might be a good rule of thumb for any topic that gets your heart rate up. I'm good at immediate reply when the choice is beef or chicken for a wedding reception. But I know myself well enough to give myself time to craft an answer when the times are tough. God's word in Proverbs 15:28 commands us to ponder how to answer. Proverbs 12:18 gives an amazing analogy. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Zounds. Sword thrusts. Have you ever been cut to the quick by somebody's comments? Have you ever slashed someone with your words? Rash words hurt. The tongue of the wise brings healing. One last verse on this topic, Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Boys and girls, think about how many timeouts, or worse, you could have avoided by paying attention to this verse. All of us in the congregation this morning, how many tears could we have avoided when giving or receiving answers by heeding this verse? So how do we use our tongue to build others up? We've been looking at various proverbs about the tongue and how it needs to be controlled. But how about using your tongue to build up those who are around you? So I like the Christmas proverbs. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Proverbs 12:25. Get it, Christmas 12, I know, okay. All right, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. But a good word makes him glad. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, a good word makes mom and dad glad. A good word makes my teacher glad. A good word builds up. So how can I be an encouragement to the people who are around me? It starts by using another part of your head. That would be your ears. In order to give a good word, we need to truly listen to what is being said to us. I confess once again that I'm guilty of this. I'm half listening. I'm either crafting my reply or I'm coming up with a better story than the one I'm being told. rather than truly listening to the person who is speaking to me. The following story is told of Franklin Roosevelt when he was president, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House receptions and was tired of all the small talk and flattering comments he received from White House guests. Roosevelt decided that the guests were never really truly listening to him and what he was saying. One day at a reception, he decided to try a little experiment. As each guest arrived and shook the president's hand, he smiled politely and said pleasantly, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." As Roosevelt had anticipated, the guest responded with such comments as, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work! We are so proud of you." And the best one, "God bless you, sir." It was not until the end of the line, the very last person greeting, the president was greeting the ambassador from Bolivia. And his guest actually listened this time to what Roosevelt was saying. The ambassador leaned over to the president and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." As we actively listen, we can share an encouraging word. Often that encouraging word can come from God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls especially, that's a huge advantage of having your quiet time in the morning. It sets the tone for your entire day. And perhaps the best words you can possibly speak to someone are the words of life. Christ died for you. God loves you so much that he sent his only son into the world to lead a sinless life and then to give up his life for my sins. Jesus conquered sin on the cross and then defeated death by rising again on Easter morning. The tomb is empty. He is alive. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. And God has provided that salvation through Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and have never accepted the Lord's saving grace, I urge you to speak to someone this morning about receiving Christ. The elders stood up. Pastor Josh would be happy to talk to you. Or perhaps it's the person who invited you here today. Any of these people would be happy to talk to you about accepting Christ as your Savior. Back to Proverbs 15:4. I like the CSV version of this. It says, "The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit." What a contrast. A healing tongue is compared to the tree of life, the tree that was the center of the Garden of Eden. A devious tongue breaks the spirit of your listener. Do you remember a word that was spoken to you that you will always remember? My second principal was noted for being a tough man. Nobody wanted to teach for him, and I had the least seniority, so I got to teach for him. I was a little concerned when he came to observe my class for the first time. I had a huge math class that year, and the only place for him to sit was at my desk, which was right at the edge of my peripheral vision. And he was madly writing throughout my entire lesson. "I'm cooked," I thought. "How am I ever going to pay the mortgage?" When I met with him about my lesson, he first said, "Please forgive me for not telling you that I scribe your entire lesson. I wasn't going to have to live on the street after all." And then he said something that I've always remembered. "Your last principal told me that you were a good teacher, and now I know he was telling me the truth." I'm sure he forgot those words before the day was over. But nearly 40 years later, they resonate in my memory. I've been at the other end of these conversations as well. Words that I've spoken to someone years ago that I have long forgotten. But those words have been treasured up in the hearer's heart. They've been treasured for years following that. How profitable is the tongue used for building someone up? One last verse on this subject is Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Amen. We can use our tongues to lie, but lying only gets us out of trouble for the short term. We can use our tongues to gossip, but that hurts the listener, the subject, and me. We can use our tongues to speak truth, which often requires careful thought before we speak or hit the button that says send. And we can profitably use our tongue to build others up. Proverbs 23:15-16 is a great conclusion to our message today. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our tongues. We pray that you would use our tongues as a way to encourage those around us. Help us to avoid the sins of the tongue and to use our tongues for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.